So I'll start the recording, make sure the level's working. Okay, this is the fourth and last lecture about website design. And today I want to talk to you about doing it on mobile phones and other small, portable, unusual sorts of devices, and also using it for emergencies. Oh, right, okay. The reason I've got my laptop up is here are some messages that arrived in the middle of the night. Okay. This is a regional tsunami alert issued last night for Fiji, New Zealand, by the Pacific Tsunami Warning Centre in Hawaii, saying there was an earthquake near Tonga, and they didn't know if there was a tsunami, but watch out. Here's another warning issued a bit later. About an earthquake, and there was another one from the US West Coast saying they haven't got one. And then one saying they actually had a small tsunami, only about 30 centimetres high. The point of this is to say that these sorts of things happen day in and day out. There are people sitting there monitoring these things. How do they get information about an emergency out to emergency workers around the Pacific or the world? How do they get that information out to the general public in a timely way that doesn't panic people? And one of the ways I've been looking at to do that is using the internet, the web, and things like mobile phones. But how do you display information on a small device, first of all, before you use it for an emergency? Because you've got a small screen, obviously, on something like a mobile phone, but in a way a television set has a small screen. TV might have a large screen, but you're sitting a long way away from it. And therefore, in effect, you can't display too much information. The text has to be large enough to read. You have a limited keyboard on a mobile telephone, and on a television-type device, you have a small remote control. You don't have a full alphanumeric keyboard. You don't necessarily have a mouse that moves around in two dimensions. You might have a up-down button. And you've got a distracted user. They may be using the device like a telephone in a noisy, crowded environment. You can't give them a very detailed display of information because they're busy doing other things. So you've got to make it clear and simple. In a lot of ways, those are similar things to what you need to do for somebody who has a disability and is using a website. So the thing I suggest is to use essentially the same techniques as you would for somebody in disability. And essentially, you follow the same accessibility guidelines, and the website then will work on a mobile phone or a TV set because of the similar needs. Now, there's been lots of attempts to get the web onto a mobile phone, and one of them's called iMode. It comes from Japan. In 2004, they had 43 million customers. By now, I guess they've got a lot more. They only had less than a tenth of those customers outside Japan, and I think a lot of those were in nearby areas. Telstra now sell this in Australia. If you go into a phone store, you can buy an iMode phone or a non-iMode phone. And so that's been very successful. iMode used something called CHTML. You probably haven't heard of this. Compact HTML. There is a World Wide Web Consortium note about this on their website, and this is a piece out of that. Essentially what they did for iMode is they took HTML, this is old-fashioned HTML, not XHTML, and they took out lots of features. They took out JPEG images, tables, image maps, multiple fonts and styles, background colours, frames, style sheets, and about all you were left with were the basic heading levels, italics, bold, lists, and GIF images. And they proposed that as a way to do things for phones. The World Wide Web Consortium wasn't terribly impressed with this idea, and it never became one of their standards. But that was implemented for the iMode phones and became quite popular for the users of those phones. So there's a bit of a lesson here. Just because it's a standard doesn't mean it becomes popular, and just because it's popular doesn't mean it becomes a standard. What iMode did was provide a very simple format, and here's something from Japan Times Mobile Edition, an online newspaper from 2001. You notice it's just text, and they've actually manually put break characters at the end of each line of the text to suit the skinny mobile phone screen. And you probably wouldn't even get all this on the phone at one time. Another example from the China People's Daily newspaper. Here, they haven't put those breaks on the end of the line, which is a better idea as far as I can see, because this can then wrap to fit different screen sizes, because you're not sure how big the phone screen's going to be. This one's actually still live, so if I click, this is the actual web page, and you see there are no graphics on it, and it's just got a couple of simple buttons. Go to top of group, top of page, and if you look at the source code, it's very simple. Just the title in the header. They actually have a background colour on the body, although I thought you weren't supposed to have that, but, and it's got centering and breaks. Okay. Nothing fancy about that, but the important point is it works and it's popular, and you can display it on a normal web browser as well, but as you can see, it doesn't look that pretty. The other way you can get the web pages onto the phone is take a normal web page, run it through a computer program that strips off anything that the web page can't cope with, and chop up the page into smaller web pages so that you don't overload the limited memory in the telephone, and send them that. And one of the services that does that is Google, and they support several different mobile phone formats. And I think I have an example. No, let's go to the actual one and we'll, try it. Down a bit. And there are also commercial packages you can buy to add this to your particular website to make it happen. So let's just see if we can get it to work. Somewhere down here it says iMode. Okay. Now I can't see the link. Let's try this one. No? I wonder what... Okay, that's the typical sort of little interface. So if I put something in here and search for it, and I'll just do a quick ego surf. Put my own name in, and you get 2 million references, obviously not all just to me, And then if you select a web page, you get a slightly altered version. So if we go to the lecture notes, so you'll notice it looks like a web page that's had the formatting removed. This is the version of the lecture notes from these lectures. It's done things like abbreviating some of the navigation links at the top with these little buttons. And then what it's done is chopped what was one web page that I had into five pages. And you might remember that, let me just make the text a bit bigger. You might remember in the first lecture I said this web page is really a bit long, it should have been several because it's too much text to send someone. So they've done the same sort of thing, divided up into five bits, and then they put some extra navigation features at the bottom to help you navigate around, and it sends you a chunk of my web page, a piece at a time, formatting as best it can. Now that looks fairly readable, but that's mainly because I've designed my web page with accessibility and mobile devices in mind. So when it converts it, it's not too hard a job. If you just put the average web page in, it may not work as well. Anybody like to suggest a web page to try? Why don't we go to the ANU? Okay. So there's 16 million references to the ANU. This is the home page of the ANU, automatically converted. So this is this actually looks quite usable. The banner at the top's probably a bit big to send to the phone, but then you've got a list of menu items which seem fairly reasonable. I'm actually pleasantly surprised that it works. Studying at the ANU, you'll notice lots of gaps where there's probably meant to be some formatting, but actually that's not too bad. But if you've got a page that's full of graphics with no alternative text, relies on colours to indicate what to do, is laid out in some strange table, this process won't work. But if you've got a fairly well formatted page, it'll work. So that's conversion, and the conversion can be to iMode or a number of different formats. So one of them, the rival to iMode is called the Wireless Application Protocol, WAP. And apart from Japan, the rest of the world decided WAP was what was going to be in mobile telephones. And WAP 1, which I previously gave lectures about to former, you know, versions of this course, essentially was a failure. It created its own XML-based format for mobile telephones, which wasn't based on HTML. Worked okay, but it meant you needed to redo all of your content in another format. If you were only targeting mobile phones, that was fine, but it didn't really fit in with the rest of the web. So what they created was WAP 2, and it uses a cut-down version of XHTML called XHTML Basic. So it's following the same idea of iMode, cut-down HTML, but they start with a more advanced HTML, the one you're going to be using. And it's essentially the same idea. You cut out features of XHTML that will be difficult to implement that you don't really need. You can essentially do everything you can with XHTML with it. You can either implement it directly, as I did in some of these web pages, or you run your code through a converter to strip off the features that aren't in the basic version. And it still had not a great level of support around the world, and in practice the mobile phone probably supports more than XHTML Basic, probably supports a larger set of XML features. But essentially the idea is a good one, and this is a proper W3C standard, and the idea is you can add extra modules onto that. So you take the XHTML, you add the CSS to then pretty up the page, add layout, and that seems to work pretty well. If your browser doesn't have the CSS, it just ignores it and you get a simple rendering. Now, the other thing that was done by the mobile phone industry was they created user agent profiles. So before I mentioned, different phones have different width screens, different height screens, you're never quite sure. They actually created an XML standard where this is the one for a Nokia 3650 telephone. The idea is the manufacturer creates a little XML file which has the features of the telephone listed, and then your program can detect what telephone the user is using, look up this table, and then custom design the code to fit the phone. And this has things like screen size, 176 by 208, model, character screens, colour capable, bits per pixel. So this tells you, for this phone, the screen is that size, can display 15 characters wide by 6 rows, it's colour capable, and it's got 12-bit colour. So in theory, you could use this information, run your content through a converter and custom produce it for that particular telephone. In practice, it doesn't happen much, particularly not with normal web content, because there's many phones in the world, and it's a bit of a tedious business to make sure it works with each one. And really, if you've got a thing that can only display 15 characters by 6 rows, there's not a lot you can do with it. If you're addressing these sorts of telephones, it's a very specialised sort of field. It's not like producing a version of web pages. You essentially have to redesign the content for them. So this has not been greatly successful. WAP 2 has a whole lot of other features that could be used, such as multimedia messaging. This is like SMS, but you can have audio, you can have images, and a whole lot of features. Essentially, that don't really fit with the web view of the world, and there are other things where you're custom designing. So an example of XHTML in use, the XHTML Basic, was the Lonely Planet guidebook. Now we've got a bigger version of that. That's about as big as it gets, I think. This is from a mobile version of the Lonely Planet guidebook, providing a brief description of cities around the world, custom designed for XHTML Basic. And you can see it's designed for a very skinny screen with a few features. What happened with this was they launched it with Nokia, and after a few years it sort of disappeared because there was so little content. That's the sort of screen you get. The problem there, as I see it, was the content was being custom edited by a human being to fit this format, and they really couldn't afford to do enough of that to make it worthwhile. We'll skip MMS. A more productive way to do this is to make sure the web pages will, for the normal user, will display for the other device. Apart from a telephone, they can display on things like the set-top boxes, for Canberra's broadband network, Transact. And I think I'll just show you a little picture of what it looks like. Where is it? Okay, there's a very small picture. Just get the idea. That's the TV guide as it was for the Transact box a few years ago. It's HTML code. They didn't actually tell the end users of this television set-top box that this is a web page. They just said this is the electronic program guide. But underneath, it was web code. So if you're displaying for these sorts of things, in practical terms, a quarter VGA screen I mentioned before, it's about the size you can automatically convert your web page to fit on. In effect, you could think about that as being about the size of a business card or a credit card, because that's about the size of the smallest device you can fit in your hand. He says, getting out his gold credit card. So you can't, it's a physical limitation. You can't make a screen bigger than that that comfortably fits in a handheld device, because it wouldn't fit in your hand or your pocket. So you've got to imagine, how do you fit the information and the navigation code into something that big? The TV screen is effectively around the same size. And just a little diagram. The red bit around the outside is a super VGA screen. The blue rectangle is a VGA screen. The yellow rectangle is an American television set resolution. The green part there is the quarter VGA, and the grey is a smaller typical mobile phone screen. So if you think you've got to fit your information in that green screen compared to the normal screen size. And today's computer screens are even larger than this red bit. But the idea is trying to fit it in that little bit. And I've got some examples in the notes of displaying the Beijing Olympics website in these formats, but I'll show you some other versions instead. There's an assortment of emulators. What typically happens is somebody who's making a small screen device for the market will make a software emulator that you can run on a normal computer to test your code. And generally what they do is they provide a web emulator as part of that. You download some code, you run it on your computer, and you get a little picture on the screen of what it would look like on the small device. And that works rather well. I've used one for mobile phones and one also for a Microsoft TV set-top box screen. So I'll just show you what a page from that looks like. So what you're seeing there is a page from the Weather Bureau forecast on a normal computer screen, and then on the Microsoft TV simulator. Looks roughly the same, squashed up, because the resolution of a TV is smaller, and they give you an emulation of what the remote control looks like, and this shows you the limited controls you have available to navigate. You can push up, down, left, right, go to the home page. That's about it. You can't mouse around. You can't type in numbers or characters easily. So those sorts of emulators are quite handy for that, even if you're not targeting that particular device. But let me show you a very particular example of doing this, which... I put up the print version instead of the projection version.